Welcome to Bethel Fellowship Church, live broadcast, 16 hours behind, or ahead, I should say. Join me with prayer as we ask the Lord's blessing on us as we dig into the scriptures and trust that what we share is an encouragement to everyone as you enjoy church together in your home, your little church. So I trust you enjoy it and make the most of it. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are everywhere, that you are omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. Lord, it's amazing, Lord, that you are with us here. You are with each person in their home and wherever they are, Lord, and in eternity there is no time. So again, I thank you, Lord, that we can gather like this through this technology. Father, ask your blessing upon us as we gather. I ask your blessing upon each one in their homes right now that are viewing this, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would make yourself known to them, Lord. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. So, Lord, we just ask for your blessing of your presence to be with us now. Father, I ask for help as I share from the scriptures today, Lord. I ask for your help, that you would speak through me, that you would use my mind and my lips to give you glory, to encourage your people, to lift up Jesus. That's what we want to do today. Come, Holy Spirit, and just speak to us. I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. I'm going to read the verse, and then I want to kind of tell a story that encompasses what I want to say. So if you turn, grab your Bibles, chapter 18 of Proverbs. Proverbs are a great book. There's 31 of them, one for every day of the month, even if we have a long month. So Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And that's my verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And I want to tell us a story, maybe for the younger ones that are listening. It's a story that I read years ago in a book called Quiet Talks by a guy named S.D. Gordon. It was a story that I read, and it kind of encompasses what this verse is saying to us. So the story goes like this, and again, it was recorded at least 100 years ago or longer, but there was a man who lived in the country, and he heard the large barking of dogs. It was really loud, and he could tell there was a lot of commotion going on. Something was happening as he stood out in his yard. He could hear these dogs yipping and howling, and he had heard prior to that a gunshot, and so that brought him outside, and the dogs barking and howling. These hounds were after something, and he could hear, as it came closer to his house, he could hear commotion coming through the trees, through his grove, through the woods. He could hear this commotion coming and branches breaking and whatever. And as he continued to look, he saw breaking through his grove, he saw a doe running and looking behind her, but she was running, and he knew the dogs were after her. Perhaps the hunters had been after her with dogs. And she kept looking behind her, and then eventually a little fawn came running behind it, and it was exhausted. The little fawn couldn't keep up with the mother doe, who was running and trying to encourage this little deer to come to her and to keep away from the dogs. And it was, the mother was trying to save its life, but the poor little fawn, it was, you know, beautiful light brown with the white spots on it, and it couldn't hardly keep ahead of the dogs. And it was tired and it was exhausted. And the mother ran right up to the farmhouse, right up to the house. And again, the fawn was staggering and just about ready to collapse. And the dogs had broken through the grove and were coming in close to the fawn. And so the mother took off. She kind of started to run to take off, hoping that the fawn would follow her. And the fawn was so weak that it stumbled and it fell and it was struggling to get up, and the dogs are closing in on it. And so the doe eventually took off running through the farm place to the other side of the grove and took off for her own safety. And there the fawn was left. The fawn got up and started to run but couldn't go far and ended up jumping right into the farmer's arms. The fawn jumped right into his arms, and he held the fawn as it panted. And it just, he comforted the little fawn in his arms, and the dogs came, and when they saw the man, they were afraid of him, and they left. And this man had saved this little unlikely friend, this little fawn that had jumped up into his arms. And so bringing that into our verse here, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. So I want to break that down. This is really a great verse. I love to break it down. There's at least four or five sections to just that short verse. And I'm just going to share on it and we'll see how far we get. I might share more on it next week. I might not. But it's just a beautiful psalm again, or this proverb again. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And of course, today we're meeting like this because of the COVID-19 virus. We've got these distances we have to keep from each other, and we don't know when it'll be over and when we'll come out of it. But I want to ask you, is the name of the Lord a strong tower? And have I been running into him? And as I've done that, have I been safe? And I just want us to notice some things about this. First thing that really blesses me is that the doors to the tower are always open. They're always open. They're never closed. We can come to God anytime. He's always open and ready for us. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and he's always open to us. What an accessible God that we have. Though he is holy and lofty, he is completely accessible to his people. What graciousness he shows us, what comfort he gives us, that at any time I can go to him and the doors are open. So that's just my first thought over that verse. What a wonderful, wonderful thought that God is always available for us. Now let's break this down. The first thing I want to look at is it says that he is a strong tower. So what is a strong tower? And I've got a number of verses we could look at, but I'm going to leave them on my notes, and maybe you have my notes in front of you as I've sent them out. But the strong tower, again, the word strong means strength, mighty, powerful. It speaks of firmness in some places. It speaks of strength and splendor. It also speaks of majesty. This strong tower is impregnable. It cannot be broken into. It is impenetrable. It cannot be penetrated through. This tower, this strong tower, cannot be broken into. Thieves and robbers cannot get into it. They cannot. We are safe in this tower. If I can get to this tower, we are safe. This is what the writer Solomon, I believe, who wrote this, this is what he was saying. And one of the pictures was, in those days, certain rich people had built towers that even might have been in a vineyard, that in the vineyard there was a tower, it was a watchtower, but it was built, it was a bit of a fortress. And sometimes an alarm would go out to those people working in the field that marauders were coming to take the harvest. It happened more often towards harvest time because they wanted to come and get the crop that you just harvested. They wanted to come and get it. An alarm would go off, and everyone would grab what they could grab, and then they would run to this safe place, this tower, this fortress. Maybe part of the picture of what Solomon's thinking as he writes these things. But it is a strong tower. We are safe in this tower. It is strong, and nobody can get into it. The word strong is interesting. It's a two-letter word in the English. It's O-Z, Oz. I don't know if that's where they got the thought for the Wizard of Oz, but the word is Oz. It is a masculine noun. It speaks of strength, might, power, and it is used primarily when it's used of God. He is this strong tower. The word tower is migdal. Again, it's a masculine noun that refers to a tower, such as a watchtower. You can find it in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 2 and other places. But here it means that all that God in his strength, in his protection. All that God is in his strength, in his protection, is a strong tower. We are safe from the onslaughts of the enemy. We are safe from the power of sin. We are safe from death itself in this tower. We are safe from all the things that come upon us, and we'll look at them a little bit more. But all that is in Jesus also is in this tower. For all that God is, Father and Spirit are found in Christ Jesus. Jesus is this tower as well. So we've got the whole Trinity is this tower. It tells us in Hebrews 1 that Jesus is the express image of the Father. In Colossians it says that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus, whose name, by the way, means Jehovah our Savior, he is part of this tower. It is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is this tower. We've got to confess it. We've got to know it. It is a strong tower. No one has ever defeated God. No one will ever defeat God. God is unchallengeable almost. There's no one who can even bring a strong challenge against him. Just this week, I was reading in a devotional by Spurgeon. My wife and I were reading it, and it mentioned that it was about the Syrophoenician woman who went to Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter. And the woman eventually says to Jesus, "Even a crumb from your table could set my daughter free. Just a crumb." See, all of the power of Satan is no challenge for God. Another place Jesus said, "If I with the finger of God do cast out Satan." So all that Satan can do to us is nothing. Just a crumb from the table of God can take care of him. Just the little finger of the Lord can cast him out. Our God is a strong tower. So that's the first thing. The second thing, and this is so important, the second thing, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So it's not just this inanimate object of a strong tower or a fortress. It is the name of the Lord. And again, it is not the verbular form, just to say some name. That's not what it is. The name of the Lord, and in this case, again, it's Jehovah, the Eternal One. It's the name that God used when Moses said, "Whom shall I say has sent me? Say that I am that I am." He is the ever-existent one. He who has always existed, the one who inhabits eternity, who knows no time. He always was, he is, he ever shall be. He is the one who has we can't put measurement on him. He is eternal. This is the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And when I mention these things, God invites us to know him by his titles. Not just to memorize a name like Jehovah or Yahweh or Yah. That's not it. It's, do I know who he is when he exhibits to us his name? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Who he was, who he is, who he ever shall be, that name, Lord. The name is a revelation of the person, and it is the person of God. In the Old Testament, they would name people with names that had a meaning for their life. We've kind of lost that. We come up with all kinds of different names. But then names had meaning. So the name is a revelation of the person. It is the person of God. It is meaning the character of God, the nature, the being of God. All that God is in the name. So when we hear a name, know the God who is in the name. Matthew Henry amplifies this thought with some of these things. He says, the better we know God, the more we will trust him. The better I know God, the more I will trust him. He goes on, those who know God to be a God of infinite wisdom will trust him further than they now can see him. And I've got verses for each of these. I'll send my notes out. You can see them, but to save time, I probably won't refer to them. Those who know him to be God of an almighty power will trust him more. When our strength runs out and our self-confidence falls apart, we will trust him more when we know him as the Almighty. That's El Shaddai. Those who know him to be a God of infinite grace and goodness will trust him even though they're under discipline or even though he may slay them, as Job said. Those who know him as a God of unbreakable truth and faithfulness, they will rejoice in the word of his promise and they will rest upon the word, though the performance of the deferred and current circumstances might contradict the word, but because they know him as the faithful one, they will trust him. Those who know him to be the Father of our spirits, and an everlasting Father, they will trust him with their souls as their main care, and they will trust him with everything because he is eternal. They will trust him at all times. Each of God's revealed names, again, this is why it says the name of the Lord. I've got to know him personally. Each of God's revealed names is an invitation to know him more. So you read through the scriptures and you find the different titles of God. Think of Isaiah, where it talks about Jesus, Counselor, Mighty God, the government is upon his shoulder. All these things, they are an invitation. It's what an invitation. All the revealed names are an invitation to know God more intimately and then to grow in that relationship that God has revealed to you. So all those names, again, one time I counted and I came up with around 300 different names and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ or of God. Each one is an invitation to know God more intimately. God's names are his self-revelation of who he is to men. He is the creator, unveiling his character to his creation. I am his creation, he is the creator, and he reveals himself to us through these different names. And each one should be an encouragement to us. Each one is that we might know him in more intimacy so that we can say the name of the Lord is a strong tower because I've experienced it. There's these names again. There, I've got maybe a dozen of them. I've got several of them here. Jehovah Jireh. That's the Lord. That's the word that's used here when the name of the Lord. That's Jehovah. And in Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh, the God who will supply. Abraham discovered that when he was about to slay his son, Isaac, on the altar. But God supplied for him a ram, a substitute, which again is a picture of Christ. That is Jehovah Jireh. Have I known him as the God who supplies? Do I know him that way, the God who will provide? Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals you. That's what it means. Jehovah, the Lord who is a healer. Have I experienced the healing of God, whether it's emotional, mental, or physical? Have I experienced him? And his names go on and on and on. I could, like I say, I've got at least a dozen of them here. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is here. Do I know him as the God who is with me? And so these names go on. And in Exodus 34, when Moses goes up the mountain, he had asked God, if I have found grace in your sight, will you give me grace that I might see you, that I might know your grace, that I might know your glory? So goes up the mountain and God hides him in the cleft of the rock. And there God shows himself, as it were, to Moses. As he moves away from Moses, God reveals himself to Moses and he says, now the Lord descended in a cloud. This is Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. You can turn there if you want to. And I'm kind of trying to wrap this up at this point. Anyway, now the Lord descended in a cloud, and he stood with Moses, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. He proclaims his own name, God himself proclaiming his own name to Moses. And Moses wrote it in Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, that we would know God personally in this way, not just memorize names, but know the character of God, to know the personality of God, to know the nature of God. We've been saved so that we would know God personally, regardless of our age, to know God personally. So now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed between or before him, and he proclaimed his name, the Lord, that's the eternal one, the Lord God, the mighty one, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and the transgressions and sins, but also by no means clearing the guilty. So God tells us what he's like. I love it. This is for us to meditate upon when we have our quiet time to think of these things. That he is the Lord, the eternal, ever-existing one. That he is the Lord God. That he is a merciful God. He's not a God who wants to smash us and crush us. He is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. He gives grace to us. He flows with grace. He is a gracious God. He is long-suffering with us. Man, he's got to be long-suffering with me. I'm sometimes slow to learn. God is so long-suffering. Aren't we glad that God is long-suffering with us? He is long-suffering. He is abounding in goodness and truth, and he's keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving our iniquity. This is who God is. Romans 15:5 says, he is the God of patience and comfort. In Romans 15:13 it says, now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. 2 Corinthians 1:3 it says, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort. In 1 Peter 5 verse 10 he says he's the God of all grace. Every new manifestation and revelation of his name brings to our souls a fresh breath and a blessing. That's why he's revealing himself to us. Can I know him in these ways? All these different ways that he exposes himself. And the last verse that I'll share with you is John 17 verse 11. Jesus said, now, he's praying to the Father, the high priestly prayer, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Will you keep them through your name? Will you keep them as we know Jesus Christ? Earlier in verse 3 of that chapter, this is eternal life, our life eternal, that you may know me and my Father who sent me, that you would know me. So in wrapping up now, I want to ask some questions. Can I say like Micah, who is a God like unto you? Who is a God like you? Do I know, can I say that personally? Who is a God like you? Do I know this? And those who know thy name will put their trust in thee. Psalms 9 verse 10. Those who know thy name will put their trust in him. Will I run to the tower and consciously enter to go to that tower? We didn't get to those verses yet, or those phrases next yet, but perhaps next week, to consciously put myself in the presence of God, to settle myself in him. Jesus said in John 15:3, abide in me. Am I doing that? Will I consciously place my fears, give them to Jesus, my anxieties, give them to Jesus, trust in Jesus? Is he my hope? Is my all placed in him? This is running into this tower, strong tower. Am I knowing God personally by each of his revealed names? Again, you can find so many more. Like I said, I found several hundred. So remember to run in to the strong tower. The name of the Lord is that strong tower. So in closing, let me just read from Romans 15:13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And I'm thinking in this sense, in believing, in putting my trust in this high tower, in this strong tower, in the name of the Lord. Will he fill you with joy and peace in believing, in submitting and surrendering myself to this strong tower, that you may abound in hope by the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, that we would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there is our challenge and I hope encouragement for us throughout the next week and for the rest of our lives, to look to the Lord, the name of the Lord, the character of God, the personality of God, who he is. He is the strong tower, and he reveals himself to us in dozens and dozens of ways through his scripture and by the titles he gives. May we run into him and there be saved. Amen. All right, we have our panel with us today. Wonderful panel. So we'll open it up and see if any of you have any questions about what was shared. Any questions?
Was the story that you told true?
Well, you know, I Googled it today because I remembered it from years ago. I mean, maybe 15 years ago I read it. And so I Googled it and I found at least two other stories numerous times that were very close to it. One was where the deer, the little fawn, lay down and was too tired to get up, and the guy picked it up and it just settled into his arms and the mother took off. So I don't know. The one I read was it actually leapt, you know, he was being chased by the dogs and it just jumped into him and he grabbed it. And I don't know. It was a long time ago. Probably S.D. Gordon, maybe 19... hundreds, 1920 or something, but yeah. Okay, anybody have any comments, things that you'd like to share from the scripture there?
The quote that you had from Matthew Henry was just really challenging and encouraging, that the better we know God, the more we will trust him. And it's just a great challenge to get to know God more in every way, in all of his names and attributes, because there are so many, and we can never exhaust that, even in eternity.
Yeah, that's true.
And as you read that, I thought of the other quote that I've heard, that we have as much of God as we want. Mm-hmm. And we'll hear people say or pray, I want more of you, Lord, but we truly have as much as we truly, deeply want. And the better we know him, the more we trust him, kind of goes along with that.
Yeah.
That's in my mind.
Yeah.
I too like that quote, the better we know God, the more we will trust him. And that's been proven true in my life. The more I focus on him and learn who he is, the less, the smaller my problems become.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I think it's really exciting, isn't it, that God gives us all these names in the scripture of who he is. You know, I mentioned a few of them. But they're to expose who he is, you know, to reveal to us who he is, that then I would climb into him and know him as my Savior, you know, as my sanctifier, as my healer, as my whatever it is that he reveals himself to us. And in this case, kind of, too, it's our shelter. You know, and again, with the virus and all the fears, well, let's run into this strong tower and be safe there.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to get distracted by all the different things in the news. Okay, I have to be paranoid about staying 6 feet away from people. I have to wash my hands like crazy. I have to sanitize everything. But, you know, we need to just stop worrying about that and run to God and trust him. He's the one that's in control. We could do all of those different things and still get sick if that's what he has planned for us.
Mm-hmm.
So the verse right after Proverbs 18:10, when I read 11, I just thought, oh, well, this is kind of the opposite.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Yep.
The beginning of Proverbs 18:11 is, the rich man's wealth is his strong city.
Yeah.
So it made me think about, okay, what do people often run to instead of the Lord?
Yeah.
And so I wrote down some things that people often run to in times of anxiety, times of worry, like right now. I put down, of course, a rich man's wealth. You know, some people trust in their money. They think, well, if I have enough of it, I'm going to be safe. I'll be okay. I won't have too much difficulty. Young people, I'm young. This, you know, I have lots of time to figure this out. Nothing's really going to happen to me. People that are wise, well, I'll just figure a way out. I'm pretty smart.
Yeah.
I've got lots of options. People that are healthy, say, especially in this coronavirus time, people think, oh, it's not really going to affect me. I'm pretty healthy. I'm good to go. You know. A relationship, say, I have all this family around me. I have a husband or wife that's really strong. You know, I'm good. Or their routine. There's just a lot of things that people can be really comforted in and feel safe in, but none of those things are really lasting.
Right.
Any of those things can change in a moment.
Right.
But God, like we talked about, is the one that never changes. He's always a strong tower, and he's always going to be that. And like you said, nothing can penetrate that tower. We're safe there forever. I also want to share with that something I wrote down about the tower. I'm not going to be able to find it. Okay, somebody else better talk because I can't figure out what I was going to say.
I remember Bernard Hull saying years ago, you know, long time ago, 20, 25 years ago, he said, you be careful. You be careful for your strengths, because your strengths can become your greatest weakness. You know, because we think we've got it all together. I'm this or that. And we don't depend on the Lord in those areas, because they're my strengths. And as soon as you don't depend on the Lord, we're in trouble of falling. And that's, when he first said that, I thought, well, that, I don't know if that makes sense. And then slowly I figured it out. I thought, yeah, he's right. You know.
Yeah, and that's sometimes he takes those things away from us.
Yeah.
And then we have to learn to trust him in that. Instead of being physically strong, you become weak, and now, okay, it's not me anymore. I have to trust you.
Yeah, that's good.
Melissa was just talking about the different things in life that people can put their trust into, like money or wealth or health or things like that. And when I read this verse, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. It just really speaks to me that God is sufficient for all our needs. Mm-hmm. And another word at the end of the verse for safe is secure.
Yeah.
And I really like that because in God I'm secure.
Yeah, right.
And that's a safe place to be.
Yeah. That's good. Anybody have any other comments or ways to apply?
Well, I think it's a good challenge at the end when you said, will I run to the tower? I mean, the obvious, if you were in a physical battle and you saw this tower to safe hold, of course you're gonna run when the enemy's coming. It's common sense,
right?
Do we have enough common sense, so to speak, to recognize the tower that God is?
Yeah.
To run to him in times of trouble and know that he's more of a fortress than any physical tower that we could possibly see.
Yeah, and it's amazing, Paul, because like when you read in Revelations, it says that men hid themselves in the rocks and the caves from the Lord. You know, that God was coming and revealing himself in judgment, and they, rather than running to him, they had an opportunity at one time, but they didn't. Now they're running to rocks and mountains to try to hide, and it ain't going to work. Yeah.
I have one more thing on that safety portion. So obviously, like, you know, what Paul said, the obvious answer is to, yes, run to him. And I think the longer we live, the more we see that that's really the only safe place. And, yes, that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
But so I was thinking about the concept that we're safe in him. And I was thinking about, yes, we're safe in him, but what part of us is safe? I'm not safe from difficulty.
Right.
I'm not safe from ill health. I'm not safe from my body dying. The part of me that's safe is the eternal part of me, my soul, and my salvation. Yeah. I can't be separated from him if I belong to him.
Amen.
So that's good. And that's the most valuable part of me, is who I am in him and my, you know, my eternal salvation. And that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
But that part is completely safe and can't be taken away.
Yeah.
Very thankful.
That's very good. Yeah. That's good. Maybe if someone else has got something to say. Otherwise, I was going to say we could all give a greeting to the church. Unless you have something else you want to add from the little message. Okay. Be nice. Say hello to your brothers and sisters. Melissa, you want to do that?
Okay. Hello, everyone. I do miss you all, and it'd be great to be able to see you. But I'm just really thankful for this time. I'm thankful that we have such a relationship where I think Tom said in his email, we'll be okay if we're not together for a couple weeks. We'll try to keep connected. You know, we're connected pretty well. He's not worried about it, and I feel the same way. We're kind of a neat group, but I do just want to say greetings to all of you and looking forward to seeing you again when we come together. But just enjoy and let this quieter pace of life be a gift and just draw closer to the Lord. That's what we want to do.
Chad, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, hello everybody. And as I look out into the sanctuary here, I just visualize all you sitting out there right now. And my heart's with you. And we love you and miss you and hope to see you soon.
Amen.
Hi. We do wish we could see you right away, right here now, but anyway, I really enjoyed last week, and so I hope you guys are encouraged this week. It was really nice to see Tom up there preaching to us, and it was just a, a settling thing, and it was like, it's going to be okay. We can still see our pastor. We can still learn from the Word. We can still hear from God important things that are timely and are teaching us to grow in our walk. And so I just pray that you are blessed and encouraged, and that the Lord would really knit our hearts together, even in this time when we can't be meeting physically.
And to go along with that, I just encourage, if you do have anxieties, concerns, questions, just need to talk to someone, please by all means call any one of us, anyone from the church. We have those phone directories. Pick it up. Just start dialing from the top and work your way down. And this has been an interesting time. We hope that we're getting through it. If you have comments or questions or want to be on the panel here, please contact Tom and he'd be happy to set you up. And we had a lot of leftover rolls last weekend, but come on over. If I could email them to you, I would.
Well, it's great to be up here with the mini church, but our hearts are with all you at home. I hope that you're really enjoying and nourishing your home church and just worshiping the Lord, whether there's one of you or, you know, seven of you, just really worshiping the Lord together and enjoying our time this way. And look forward to when we can come back. As like Melissa said, I look forward to us coming back together. We'll have a real Bethel celebration. It'll be great. So God bless you all. We love you. And Jesus bless you. Amen.